He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That's sad, but that's humankind. Those are the hearts that we have. Our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and who can really know their own heart? You can't. We pretend like we do, but we don't.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts. As we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. We are looking at John the Baptist as our study of John continues in chapter 1, verse 8. Here's Pastor Bob.
John was sent by the Lord God to prepare the way of Messiah. Remember John crying in the wilderness? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Repent. Turn. Repent means to turn around. Turn back to God. You've drifted from God. Maybe you've turned your back on. Maybe you've never looked back at God. But repent. Turn back around. Turn around. John the Baptist wasn't the light, but he was bearing witness of the light. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, is a prophecy about the one crying out in the wilderness. And Isaiah prophesies this in chapter 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." You're going to see later on in this chapter. Well, let me read it to you later on in this chapter. John the Baptist, the leaders were saying, "Why are you preaching like this? Who are you? Are you the Messiah?" Listen to John. John chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. They asked him, "What then are you? If you're not the Messiah, well, what are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" Thinking one of the major prophets, like Jeremiah or Hosea or something, one of the great prophets. And he answered, "No." They said unto him, "Who are you that we may give an answer to those that sent us? What do you say about yourself? Tell us who you are." He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah told you." He says, "I am a fulfillment of a prophecy. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord." I just read it for you in Isaiah 40, verse 3. He says, I'm the guy he's talking about in Isaiah, that Isaiah's talking about me. I'm telling you, Messiah is coming. Prepare you the way. Anytime now, Messiah will come. So see, he wasn't the light, but verse 9, that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Jesus Christ is that light, the true light that lights every individual that comes into the world. Now, that is a remarkable statement. Every individual, including you and me, is given the light. That doesn't mean we're saved. That doesn't mean that we'll believe, or that doesn't mean we'll receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It means that the light shines on everyone without regard to nationality, race, sex, skin color, whatever you choose. Every individual that ever has lived or will live will have an opportunity to receive or reject Jesus Christ, won't they? It's hard now for people to say, "I've never heard," because it's all over the internet, because it's all over the airwaves, because it's all over everybody's cell phone and their this and that. You can't really avoid it because Jesus comes up in the news all the time. We think Jesus probably married Mary Magdalene and moved on over to Europe. And, you know, little kids are going, "Who's that?" Right? "Oh." And they start, "Jesus, well, they say he rose from the dead." They say, so it's hard to get away from the gospel. Not just in America, everywhere now. Notice the light shines on every individual. I know some of you are really worried about those. What if they never hear? God says they will. But if they never do, don't you worry. God is more just than we are. And he will judge every individual according to the light that they had, according to the understanding and knowledge that they had. But when I hear non-believers say, well, what about all those people in dark, deep, dark Amazon? I say, are there some there? Yeah, I think so. Well, then why don't you receive Jesus and our church will pay your way down there to go tell them. And they go, well, I don't want to. I didn't think you did, so shut up. Quit worried about everybody else. Just look, if you don't want Jesus, say you don't want him. Don't start playing little games like you're caring all about those little children and those people way out there. If you care about them, we'll get you to them. It's a game. And the game is this. You start talking to them about their own heart. They got to deflect that and say, well, what about this? And how about, you know, science? You know what? Let's just talk about you. At that point, they're very uncomfortable and they're going to have to leave. They're going to, right? It's a game everybody plays. But the truth is out there in the light. Even though not everybody will be saved, not everybody will receive Jesus, everyone will have the opportunity. Every person that ever lives have an opportunity to surrender to Jesus Christ, to believe or to choose to reject. And remember again, I'll say it again, our call, just like John, just like John the Apostle, just like Peter and James and John and Lydia. And remember, she was a real witness. And Tabitha, and the list goes on and on and on and on. All through the church age, we've got the responsibility to tell people too. So we're always looking for ways to get our Bible studies out there somehow, radio, whatever. Because we want, people will invite me into their car that would never come into this building. We've had people. I spoke with a guy at the men's retreat who was listening to the radio and pulled over to the side of the road and received Jesus. You know, he just pulled over to it. One guy was a Mormon and he called here and said, I was a Mormon this morning. I accepted the Lord. What do I do now? And you think, oh boy, I wasn't ready for that question. You know, I'm kind of busy. Okay. You know, Lee, you have opportunities to tell people about Jesus. You do. Just watch for them and don't get weird, get freaky and start slobbering and stuff. Just tell them. Tell them what he's done in your heart. Tell them the truth. So everyone will have that opportunity. And that's what verse 9 is basically saying. And verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He's talking about logos, talking about Jesus Christ. He was here. Remember, just about 33 years in his public ministry for 3.5 years. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own received him not. That's sad, but that's humankind. Those are the hearts that we have. Our hearts are desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And who can really know their own heart? You can't. We pretend like we do, but we don't. One day we'll stand before Jesus and he will judge. And all he's got to do is look. You just look. And whatever wasn't really done for eternity, wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn. Some of us will probably smell a little like smoke. But you're not judged whether you're going to heaven or not. Your sins are gone. You're judged according to the works, the things that we did for the Lord. Why do we do what we do? Why do you go to church? And why do you sometimes show up a little early and pray? And why do you do that? You say, well, I want to. Good. One day we'll find out why we did some of these things. I'm like I was when I was 7. My dad would say, why did you hit your brother? I don't know. And I really didn't know. Remember? What do you mean you don't know? The truth, I don't know why I do that. When the nuns at school would say, where is that nice little boy that used to be in here? And I'd be going, I don't know. He was with me this morning, but boy, without him, I'm in trouble all the time. I don't know. I can't explain it to you because it's there. Why did you break that? It was there. I don't know. And we're being honest, but adults say the same thing. Why did you do it? I don't know. I didn't plan to do it. I just did it. I got a call to a domestic violence, and we were chased by this 17-foot-3 dog. It was a cul-de-sac, and we got our lights flashing, and I get out of the car, my partner gets out of the car, and the biggest dog on the planet, growling. I think it was a Great Dane, but I'm pretty sure it was probably a werewolf. So I couldn't get back in the car, so I jumped up on top of the car. So I'm sitting on the flashing lights, and then my partner's up there with me. I pull out my baton. He pulls out his gun, and we're hearing smashing glass and breaking and metal inside that garage. But we can't. What do you think we're going to shoot the dog? And so my partner yelled out, "Someone get this dog!" And the little 3-year-old girl, Las Vegas finest on top of their car, thinking we're going to have to shoot this dog, comes out, takes it by the ear, and walks it home. I was ready to shoot somebody. Now I'm embarrassed. We knock on the garage door because they're smashing, and it was a man, and he opened the garage door, and he's broken all the windows on a car. So we got a call here. Got some trouble, don't you? He goes, "Am I in trouble?" I said, "I don't know. Tell me what you're doing." He goes, "I don't really know. I lost my temper. My wife won't quit maxing out the credit card." I said, "So you're breaking the windows? You could use your credit card to replace them, right?" He says, "It's all I could think of doing to stop her from shopping. She won't quit shopping." He says, "Am I breaking the law?" And I looked at my partner, looked back at him and said, "I don't think you are. You're on your own property, breaking your own windows. We're called because of the noise. If you could keep it quiet, go for it, sir." But he didn't know. He was so frustrated. I don't know what else to do. Break the windows. And I'm going, that's us, everybody. Jesus Christ came to this world. And the world was made by him. And the world didn't recognize him, didn't know him. Why are we doing what we're doing? It's just hard to say. We don't know our own hearts. We're not sure what we're doing. We get hurt. We get scared. We get confused. We get exasperated. The list is so big, we can't explain it all. He came to the world, meaning God Almighty became flesh. God Almighty became flesh and came to this world, the world of mankind, which he made. He made everything that was made. And he's just coming down to help. He came to this world, the world that he created, the world that belongs to him, the creator of the world, and most people didn't recognize him. "You're who?" "I'm the Son of God. I'm the Messiah." "Stop it. Come on. Are you drinking?" "No, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm God." And they mocked him and they laughed at him. The creator of the world, and most people didn't recognize. People didn't recognize their own creator by the way he acted and the way he treated them and the love and concern and compassion and kindness. How could they have missed that? The same way we're missing it today. The same way people out there who don't know Jesus are saying, he's a myth. And if he were really God, why would he let California burn to the ground? If he was really a God, why are little children in foreign countries suffering? And why are little child trafficking? Why? See, and they reject him, not even realizing he's the one that did all this. He's the one that created every bit of it. They don't recognize him. The language, the creator of the world, and they didn't recognize. The language suggests a willing blindness. You know, the Pharisees, Jesus said, "You're blind because you refuse to see, not because you can't. You refuse to see. You are unwilling to recognize Jesus Christ." It's a willing blindness and a willing ignorance. And I think the world's full of it today, too. They willfully say, I'm not going to look at the Bible. I know what it says. I read a book and the Bible's full of contradictions. Show me one. Well, I can't, but I read this book and it said there's a bunch of them. Well, you know what? Read the Bible and show me one. Quit reading these silly books. Read it. You can't do it. I don't want to. Willingly ignorant. That's what the language says. That true light, verse 9, comes, lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came to his own. The language here has got a double meaning. His own means this is what he created. This is his. He could shut it down right now. Just stop it. Everybody would be gone. The Bible, we saw in Colossians, he's holding chapter one, he's holding everything together. If he lets go, it's gone. It's called black matter. It used to be called nuclear glue. Nobody knows what they call it. It's Jesus Christ holding it together. If he lets go, cancel Christmas, it's done. And people still mock. So he came to his own. The language here is it all belongs to him. This was his possession, his creation. He came to his own place and his very own people, and they didn't want him. Most of them rejected him. They did not receive him or welcome him. So look at verse 12. But as many as did receive him, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We'll stop with those verses. Listen to this. Not everyone rejected Jesus. John didn't. John the Apostle did. Peter didn't. All sorts of people, some lepers who were cured, they didn't reject him. They believed. But it's amazing that when Jesus Christ was put to death and he died after being buried on the cross and after being buried 3 days, rose again, the little group that really believed in him was a tiny little group. As a matter of fact, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given, there were only 120 believers in all the world. In one room. So you could call it church if you like. The whole church. 120. Whereas at one time, they believed that there were between 20 to 30,000 who were coming out to be healed and coming out to be fed, who were listening to him but rejected him. All kinds of people. The day he stood there with Pilate, the praetorium there, they said, away with him, crucify him. Who should I give you? Give us Barabbas. Well, what do I do with your king? He's not our king. We have no king but Caesar. What do you want me to do with him? Crucify him. Get him out of here. We don't want to kill him. They rejected the Messiah, but not everybody did. Some received him. Some surrendered their hearts. Some believed, trusted him by grace through faith, like some of us. Even though we don't have all the answers, we're not smart enough to explain it all, yet he's in our hearts by grace through faith. It is a universal invitation. No one gets left out of this, nobody. And some people think they sinned way too much. Jesus says, no such thing. I came to pay the price for all sin, mine and yours. He paid it for all of us. It's a universal invitation. Whoever accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, whoever received him by grace through faith, were given eternal life. To them he gave the right and the power, the language says, the right and the power to become children of God. He did it. Not by works, not by joining a church, not by giving a specified amount of cash, tuck in that love gift. But simply by receiving Jesus Christ in their hearts, putting their faith and their trust and their hope in him alone. It's that simple. Looking to Jesus for salvation and for deliverance. And I love this verse 13, put it all together. The new birth does not come by natural childbirth. Nicodemus, I call it the Nick at Night chapter. You'll see it, John chapter 3. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night and wants to talk about it. And Nick, Jesus says, Nick, it's basically, I'm going to paraphrase, let's cut to the chase here. You're the one of the foremost teachers in all of Israel. You need to be born again. Nicodemus says, I don't get that. How can a man go back into his mother's womb when he's old and be born again? And Jesus says, you are one of the greatest teachers in the land, and you don't understand that simple truth. It wasn't an insult. It was just saying, come on, Nick. It's not physical, everybody. It's spiritual. Simply receiving Jesus Christ. New birth does not come by natural childbirth. New birth does not come by the will of the flesh, we read here, verse 13. They're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. I like that. It's not by natural, not by the flesh. It's not by, the new birth does not come by the will of the flesh. In other words, you can't just decide it and it happens. Okay, I'm born again now. I'm pretty much am. That's it. No, doesn't work that way. You and I cannot produce the new spiritual birth. You can't smoke it. You can't win it. The song says you can't chant till the morning to create it. It must be given to you. And the only one who can do that is God Almighty. It's not by the will of man. Let me say that in American. I want every one of you to be saved. I just want that. I mean, when the roll called up yonder, I want you there. I want to see you there. I'll be way in the back. You'll be up front. But I want to see you there. But I can't do it. I can't. I would love to grab some of you and shake the spots off you and tell you, shut up and repent. Just do. You need to be with us in heaven. I can't do that. It's not by the will of man. I mean, you know, you got children and you want them to be saved and you're just threatening and everything. I mean, you know, I'm going to cut off your oxygen. But you can't make them be saved, can you? You want them to. You pray for them to. But it's not by the will of the flesh or by the will of man. I want all kinds of my friends to be saved. Some of them still aren't. And I can't make them do it. I don't have the authority or the power. I can't choose that you be born again spiritually. I can pray that you are. I can hope that you are. I can share with you, but I can't do it. I don't have that kind of power. Nobody does. I can't make it happen. It's not the will of man. Let me put it this way. No person can save another person. I can receive Jesus for me, but I can't receive him for you. How then does the spiritual birth take place? The answer is here in verse 13. Which we're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by God. But of God. This simply means the power to produce the new birth does not rest in anything or anyone else. It is only in the power of God alone. Right? If you want to be saved, you have to simply say, I want to be saved, Lord. I surrender my heart to you. Wash me. And instantly, you're truly born again. Dr. Wolver writes this, a person welcomes Jesus and responds in faith and in obedience to him. But the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit is the cause of regeneration, the cause of the new birth. I can say to the Lord, wash my sins away. I believe. But it takes his power to do it. And it's free. God alone produces that new life in the soul of every true believer. I'll read it again. As many as received in verse 12, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Those which were not born, or were born not of blood, the flesh, nor, physical birth, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's God's doing. I can have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior if I humbly, from my heart, in sincerity say, save me, Lord. I have sinned. Save me.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.